Welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. We're Vince and Ashley Thomas, lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church, and we are so honored to be wherever you are today. If you're watching live, you're catching the rebroadcast, or you're listening to our audio podcast, thank you so much for allowing us to invest these words of life into your heart. Today, we are closing out our taboo series, and we have some friends with us to help us close out our taboo series on relationship. We have Rob and Janine Wilson. So, everybody out there, if we could just welcome them, let's show them we have some manners in the comments. Just welcome Rob and Janine.
Show them your love, y'all. Show them your love.
And our first week, we dealt with foul play, which was very, very...
About betrayal. And we talked about a lot of hard issues in that one.
Last week, we dealt with fair play. So we dealt with setting better and healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. And today, we brought in the reinforcements because the word that we are going to talk about today is foreplay.
Foreplay.
Now, I know what you're thinking. What kind of church is this? And you guessed
it. But I bet you're interested, right?
Mm-hmm. I know I'm interested. Because we want to talk about, again, as we said from the beginning of this series, what often gets overlooked inside of relationships, inside of marriages. And really with Rob and Janine, they're our wisdom. We consider them just advisors to us. We thank God for the times that we get to talk and we get to glean and grow. And one thing my wife and I have been blessed with since we began the church is that we've been surrounded with wisdom.
With good people.
And with people who have been through different seasons of life, marriage, who can give us insight into parenting, blended families.
And just really all the various, you know, ways that marriage and life can take you. And I feel like Vince and I got wisdom from the Lord to bring them on because I am so excited to get into the topic of foreplay with them.
Well, I'm glad that you're excited.
I'm excited. But I feel like we need to start with a scripture. What do you think? I feel like we got to start off on the right foot.
Well, let's introduce Rob and Janine and have them before we get inside the scripture today.
First.
But Rob and Janine serve as our life group directors here at the Outlet. But if you all could tell us, like, how long have y'all been together and married, you know, just for the viewing audience today?
Well, we've been married 22 years.
Yeah.
And we met, ironically, at work. I have this ongoing joke that I was the hot guy at work, and my wife kind of came on to me.
They do that sometimes.
You know, but anyway.
You know, that's his story. Was that the real story, Janine? Was that the real story?
I did. I got the job, the man, and then I left.
She did. I thought that was confusing, too. Like, she left. Why'd she leave? Anyway.
The job and the man. I say she won, ladies. Don't we? We say she won.
I won.
But I'm Robert Wilson, and this is my wife, Janine Wilson. We've been married 22 years. We've been a part of the Outlet community, and we just love serving with Pastor Vinny and Pastor Ashley. They've been a blessing to us just as much as they say we've been wisdom for them. I've grown and learned from you guys all the time, and I appreciate you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to allow everyone in on either a phone conversation or if we're sitting at the table at dinner having
a conversation,
we're just going to invite the world into our conversation. So I hope you all are ready for just some topics that we're going to get into. But as my wife said, we'll go to a text scripture. So if you have your Bibles, go with us to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. And it will serve as our, as I like to call, our thematic thrust for our conversation today. In Ephesians 4 and 2, New Living Translation, it says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Verse 4, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future." Join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, during our conversation today, Lord, help this to be led and help this to be guided by your Spirit. Father, in our heart's desire, in our effort, in our focus, we want to see relationships stronger. We want to cultivate an authentic relationship community. So help us to have a conversation. Help us to bring wisdom, enlightenment, to every person who is under the sound of our voice, And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you're in marriage and when you're in relationships, one thing that we're beginning to notice, because the new car smell is starting to wear off.
Absolutely.
We got in the double digits last year in marriage, is that you can't let things get on autopilot and you can't let things drift. And just as, you know, individuals who want to learn, who want to grow, from you all's perspective, what has been really the anchor that has kept you all together for the 22 years of marriage?
Well, I would say the foundation of our marriage, not to sound spiritual, but it is God. The one thing that we both tap into and keeps us on course and focused in the right areas is our trust in God, which enhances our trust in each other and helps us grow with each other. So it's God is at the center of it all.
And we had talked about when you get about the business of marriage, when you're running your marriage like a business.
Okay.
You know, we have income, you've got bills to pay, you've got children to direct and raise, you just have so much that's going on. You can get into a rhythm of not paying attention to the actual marriage.
Wow.
So when that happens, we take a pause and we look at one another and say, we need to get back on track. We're focusing too much on the business of marriage and not on marriage as God would have it to be.
Wow. And that's for our God. That's easy for me. You know, I'm bringing home the bacon. I'm taking care of the kids. I'm coaching. I'm doing stuff that seems to be important for the family, but it's not necessarily taking care of the needs of the marriage.
Wow.
So I have to... We have to sit down and talk and readdress, like, where are we not meeting each other's needs? So,
wow.
That kind of delves into intimacy a little bit, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? And I think that's part of maybe the marriage covenant that's not talked about as much. Like, we do talk about the business aspect. We talk about, right. like, what the role of the male is, what the role of the female is, and we kind of get those, as Janine said, to a science. But then I wanted to ask, in doing those roles well, how did you know the intimacy was lacking? Like, with the bills being paid, the children being taken care of, everybody was firing on all cylinders, but how did you all know, okay, we're running it like a business, but where's the relationship?
It's normally triggered in our communication. The heart of it is our communication. When I'm interpreting what she's saying to me wrong and she's interpreting what I'm saying to her wrong and we're responding to each other as opposed to listening to each other, that means it's time to reset. Something's off course. We've gotten caught into the routine and not into each other, and we're not listening and hearing each other. So normally we'll do a pullback and say, let's reset, like, what's going on. It's basically a time to sit down and talk.
Wow. I love how you all are being honest with us. You know, you're not saying, oh, these 22 years, you know, we've never argued. What is a conflict, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that we've got to be honest with our viewing community right now that there are going to be moments, there are
Absolutely.
Going to be seasons where, you know, it's not always summer, it's not always spring, but they're fall and they're even winters. And so if we have people, because let's start from the winter season and then we'll end over into spring and summer. But what would you say to those people who feel like they're in the fall or winter season of their relationship where it's like there's no fruit that's being produced? They have a lot of questions. Do we continue? Do we keep going? You know, how do we help somebody who's there?
There's always going to be a voice that tells you that, you know, this isn't going the way that you think it should. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, again, you've committed to this person for life. So, and through ups and downs, through challenges, and you got to get back to the core of why you got together. You know, this person didn't all of a sudden turn bad. It's something happened in your communication along the way, and you got to fix that.
You got together for a reason.
Absolutely.
Why? Why did you? And you may have to go back and remember why, because you've gotten so into the routine of just living. But there were things about this other person that made you laugh and smile and made you want to make the commitment to spend the rest of their life with them. So what was that? And that may take a lot of time to sit down and talk, you know? And I know we had talked before when you say seasons, You know, when we got married 22 years ago.
Wow.
So times have changed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Times have changed. And so his needs have changed. My needs have changed. You can start missing the mark on, you know, if you think it's still the same as the first day you walk down the aisle.
Yeah.
You have to do a check-in to see, you know, am I still meeting those needs?
Wow.
And these are all the needs, emotional, I don't know, physical, everything. You got to, am I still doing what we need to do? What do we need to do to get back on track?
Like you said, the business could be running well, but
yeah.
Are we on track?
Are we connecting?
Yep. Are we connecting?
And it's really the essence of what we're talking about with foreplay, because we're not just centering on foreplay in...
Or just the sexual part.
Yeah, leading up to the actual act of sex, but being preventative and being proactive in our love and our communicating care.
Yes.
And connection to the person that we love. But as things change, as seasons of life change, for instance, where if you have children who are younger in the house, there's a dynamic that you all have there versus when you have children who are leaving the house, empty nest. You all are the hybrid nesters.
That's a good word for that.
Yeah, hybrid nesters where you have two who are
out. Down, one to go.
Two down, one to go. You all are don't they look good? They're new grandparents.
They really do. I mean.
They're new grandparents.
Like, amazing.
They're the new age grandparents.
Yes, you they know? Are. Yes.
And so they're, all of these things are working together. So as you all are talking about checking in, what are some things, let's just talk about for those who have younger families with younger children, how do those dynamics work to keep the love going?
Get a babysitter. It's okay.
Yes.
To get a babysitter and continue to date. We continue to date with the younger kids. When we got married, I had been married before. Many of you know that. So when we got married, we had two children. We were an instant family. We said I do, and we had a whole family. So, you know, you had to be creative. And, you know, thank goodness for grandparents that could babysit. But, you know, you have to take a step away and just be a married couple. And don't talk about the kids on your date night. Whatever it is that you need to do, just focus on one another.
So on dates, you're saying that we should not use that opportunity to now let's talk about the kids that we just had left at with grandma.
Which I feel like is so hard to do, especially when you have a moment of quiet. You can really talk about everything.
And you're talking about the kids.
You're like, Corey did something so cute.
You're talking about the kids.
Stop talking about the kids. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about what we talked about before there were kids.
So what happens when we go, you know, months, weeks without connecting with each other and it's only for the children? Have you all noticed that when at times that may have been done or maybe people you talk to that there's a space that's created between the two of you? Like, who are you, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And we always say we've read the book about your love bank. Like, the love bank is overdrawn. We need to get some deposits on the love bank. I mean, but there are just things you have to do. You get so preoccupied taking care of everyone else.
Yeah. Mm.
And you forget to take care of one another and just spend some time. Watch a movie that the two of you like.
Yes.
Eat a meal that the two of you like, you know, not driven by what the kids want to eat.
Go on a car ride. We've had, like, great communication in car rides together. We've just sit and just, I mean, we accomplish a lot. In car rides, we reconnect. We talk about the future. We just remind each other about what we like about each other. It's just we really enjoy some car rides together.
And in the pandemic, that might be the only time we get away.
Exactly. Oh, we got some car rides. They were amazing.
You know what's funny? We were just talking about, you know, our one of our last older children officially left the house at the beginning of the pandemic. So we really are. In a new season in the pandemic. So we haven't experienced a household of just me, my wife, and my youngest yet. Because we did things in the past where we took the family on vacations. Then we did vacations together separately from the kids to enjoy each other's company.
Did y'all hear that? That was good stuff right there.
But we haven't had a chance to do that. So we're kind of interested in seeing, like, the next stage.
Wow.
I want to talk about a little bit about communication, because I think that's where a lot of couples struggle. In the communication part. They have so much to say, and it feels like the other person is either not understanding what they're saying or feel maybe attacked about what they're saying or offended at what they're saying. How did you all work through saying the hard things to each other?
Communication is tough. That and is I tough. Will say that it's probably a big problem for us just because we're two strong communicators and we don't necessarily listen to each other. So,
oh, wait a minute. It's not just our marriage.
Right.
No.
Wow.
Don't y'all feel comforted?
You know, it's funny.
I thought it was me and Ashton listen to each other.
We're in this together, y'all. We're okay. in it together.
When we went to premarital counseling, it was funny because our counselors told us, you know, one of your biggest challenges is going to be communication. And I'm thinking like, yeah, you don't know us enough to be saying that about us. We talk well together. And that was the biggest challenge.
22 years later. Still.
They were absolutely right.
But I think the key, you have to create a safe space.
Yes.
There has to be a judgment-free zone that both of you can talk and say that thing that you wouldn't say in front of anyone else. Mm. And it takes practice. As we were getting ready for this, I wrote that down. Because you might not get it right. You know, like your spouse may say something, you might be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Don't say that out loud, because they probably won't say it again. So... Don't even give them that look like, that's a terrible
Oh, ladies,
thing.
We can't do the look. That's the lady
look.
Thing.
Let me tell
can't
y'all.
Do the look.
And that's the lady thing
practice.
Right there.
I'm going to tell on y'all's first lady.
Oh, no.
I'm going to tell on her.
I did a look.
So we communicated a plan.
I'm very expressive.
We communicated a plan that we agreed to. The next day happens, and it's time to enact a plan, and she goes off script. And I said the words, hey, hold on. And she looked
at hold on to me.
And she looked at me like.
See, that's the look. That's the look.
I think in her head, she said, N-word, please.
I didn't say that
that's
in
the
my
look.
Head, but I did give a look.
She gave a look. And it was the beginning of a very intense conversation. Because I felt disrespected. Because of the look, as you described, after we agreed to a plan,
yeah,
we, of course, worked through the difference because she was hearing what I was saying from a different lens. And that look, listen, when your woman give you a look, she is giving you a whole paragraph.
Okay. Well, which I think, to your point, I think it takes patience, doesn't it, to actually sit down and work through everything that we worked through, because you can easily go on the defense and it snowballs, right? Mm-hmm. Like a simple thing about you leaving the toothpaste open or a sock on the floor could turn into a monstrosity of a fight if, you know,
mm-hmm. I still
cooler heads are not
the whole
prevailing.
Sock on the floor thing.
That is such a big deal for me, y'all. This is not about us.
She will wash. Never mind.
In yes. about year 12, you learn just pick the sock up.
And that lady had
a problem.
Sock
she just picked the sock up.
Socked on a deal breaker.
It can be in some cases.
So after you have your safe space, you have to be honest about how you feel. And let your spouse know, I feel this way when this thing happens. So when you go off script, this is how I felt.
Wow.
And then kind of deal with that there. But you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with your spouse. If you just keep it on the inside and never tell them why you're feeling a particular way, you're probably going to have that argument again. And you're going to have it over and over again. I was thinking about, you know, a lot of couples have issues with finances.
Yeah.
Finances are rooted probably in how you were raised in your family of origin and what money meant to you there. So you might need to sit down and really delve in. When you spend too much money, I feel like this. You know, when you don't let me spend the money I want to spend, I feel like this. And then work through it as a couple.
Wow. Wow.
But that's, you have to be honest about those feelings.
That's key. So what would you say... are, I guess, a couple of anchors for you all that when, you know, you're tempted maybe to go off track, you're tempted to go off script, what are some of your anchors that you all have employed in your marriage that have kind of helped to bring you back to base or back to center?
again, it always boils down to communication. One of the things I found out is that when I'm feeling that I'm not being heard by my wife, typically I haven't really expressed how I felt. So I gotta reevaluate what's driving me and then come to her honestly and say, honey, I feel like A, B, and C. You did this and I responded this way, but my response wasn't because of what you did, it's because I'm feeling insecure about whatever. And then when I have that conversation, I find that she grows closer to me. And it's not a natural place for me as a guy to go.
Yeah.
But I get more results when I go there.
Yeah. That's more about the vulnerability piece, which I think is a huge aspect of connection and intimacy. Which going back to our first conversation of what we had, of like that's kind of what's lacking in most marriages is the intimacy piece. But I love that what you said, Rob, about and being honest about that most men don't really like to talk about feelings and expose their weaknesses or, you know, to the, especially not to anybody, but you would think the wife would be great, right? To the safest person to expose it to. But I think in creating a safe space, I want to ask, what are the do y'all have like boundaries? Okay, this is a safe space and this is what we're not going to say in this. Like, have y'all talked about that fully?
Absolutely. We have rules. Absolutely.
Okay.
Nobody can say the D word, divorce. We ain't never going to bring that up in a conversation.
Okay.
You're not even going to hint with that. You're not going to use that as a tool to threaten your spouse. No, that's off grounds. You can't go there.
We argue the topic, not the person.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Cannot make it
against
the
person. We're in this together, so we can't. Every argument can't go to.
The thing is, she knows what is my most sensitive areas, and I know hers, and they're off limits. We can't go back to family of origin, you know, threats or use to win a debate. You just can't.
Yeah.
So I got to protect her sensitive areas, and in turn, I trust that she does the same with mine. So.
Wow, I love that. Safe with structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a Netflix movie that just came out, and I'm not going to name it because I'm not getting paid by them. But the couple was just going to blows verbally
the whole time
in black and white.
And it was they were hitting. It was a lot of below the belts.
Yeah, you can't. Mm-hmm.
You know,
to be honest, you men aren't going to win. So why go there?
Because, and if you do, you didn't.
Oh, you're done.
That's true.
That's a losing argument.
Yeah, you didn't.
Once it's in the atmosphere, you can never pull it back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can never pull it back.
Yeah.
So it's going to linger. If he says, if he goes below the belt and says something, you know, really mean to me, I'm not going to forget it. It's going to linger for the next few months, right? Like, no, you say it.
Wow.
Ooh, but speaking of that, I do want to get into this too, because I feel like a lot of couples have hurt each other, right? Like, especially the more you're together, there are going to be some things that you fight about, argue about, maybe some below the belt comments, right? How have you all learned to walk in forgiveness toward each other? Like, what are some things you all have found that was helpful or done?
You have to choose to forgive before your mind accepts that you forgive. You got to say, I'm going to forgive. Then you got to remind yourself that I've forgiven her or she has forgiven me because of A, B, and C. Because initially, the feeling is you're still mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have to.
Maybe raw.
Raw. But you have to make the choice that I'm going to forgive. And then if you forgive, you got to remind yourself, would I be doing this if I really forgave her? Or am I still carrying the residue as to what I said I forgave her about? That's just not fair.
Wow. This is so good. So, I mean, we've covered a lot, and, you know, we're going to open up more dialogue in what we're talking about, especially at our next relationship tune-up, which is coming up in just a couple weeks on March 13th. But I really wanted to close out today with you all speaking to the hearts of individuals who are watching. Just whatever God has put on your heart to share, to kind of put a bow on not only our conversation today, but with our relationship series of Taboo. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you all.
One thing we've realized over the years is nothing is as intense as you think it is at the time that you're going through it. So even from raising kids to situations, financial, it always is not as bad as you think. So you kind of gotta pull back, and then what we gotta do is we trust God. Like, all right, if I can't figure it out, you know, I can't change my wife, but I can pray and I can trust God. I can speak to her better than I can ever do. So that's where I fall back on some situations. What about you, Sam?
Yes, you just have to trust God. I mean, there have been times I've been really mad, and I don't want to forgive and kind of go to the brink. But that's just a dangerous edge to go to. So just walk it back and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And just take a deep breath. I don't know, eat a slice of chocolate cake. I don't know.
Comfort food is always good.
Yes. Like, I love him, and I got to remember why.
So,
and
like, why am I so angry if I love her? Like, nothing's changed. It's just this situation, and this situation is temporary. So I got to trust God, because this is an issue with me and God, not her.
Mm-hmm. And many times, I've just thought that there are many people that are watching us. And, you know, if we can be the example that if you make it over this hump, it just gets better and just stay. So it's like God is using our marriage for some reason. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying we're some shining beacon, but there are some people watching. And so for that reason, okay, let's just give this argument a break and step away from it and decide, make a decision to forgive and move on.
We have taken some argument breaks. Like, we agree that we're just not going to agree on this one. So we're going to take a break. But at the same time, we're not going to just take a break with anger. We're going to take a break and with a clear heart and a clear mind. And again, that's not easy, but it's a choice. When we come back, my wife will always test my pulse. Are you still mad?
Are you my friend yet?
Yeah.
Are we friends?
Favorite line.
Are we friends again?
I'm not mad.
Like, don't feel like you're not mad.
I'm not mad. I said I'm not mad.
Awesome. If you all would just close us out with a prayer today. And if you're out there and you desire that to pray with us, there's a number that's coming up on the screen, 770-667-4899. We have members of our prayer team that are standing by. If you're watching on our online campus, you can just click, you know, I would like to pray with you. And we're here to support you. But Rob and Janine, just if you would, just close us out today.
So Father, we just thank you and praise you and give you honor and glory. We thank you for marriages. We thank you for couples and relationships. We thank you that at the center of every successful relationship is God. And we thank you, Father God, that we don't rely on each other, we rely on you. We trust in you in all that we do. We put our hearts on the table before you, Father God, and just as a result, we could put our hearts before each other with trust, faith, realizing that if my wife loves God and I love God, then this thing is going to work out for the good. So we thank you for all the couples out there. We pray that they get a clear line of communication, a clear line of trust in you, Father God, and realize that every situation they face is temporary if they have you at the center, because they will be victorious in the end.
And Lord, we just continue just to pray for marriages, Lord, for engaged couples, for people that are considering marriage. Lord, just speak to their hearts. Touch them, have them to understand the purpose that you've put in them for their marriage to exist, Lord. And have them just understand that they're living more than just for themselves, but it's to your glory when you're in the center of the marriage. We just thank you for all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We pray that you all enjoyed our Taboo Relationship Edition. We are so honored again to have you with us. We want to let you all know on next week, we are actually going to be celebrating International Women's Day. So my wife will be up on next week. She actually will all be partnering with other churches around the country. She is a guest speaker next weekend. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tap into the stream and invite you all to be a part of that as we celebrate just what God is doing in the earth and the lives of women. Also, our relationship tune-up is just a couple of weeks away, And after next Sunday, we're going to have the State of the Church address on Zoom. So the information is there for you all to be a part. So we love you all so much, and we look forward to seeing you next time at the Outlet.